Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin.
And I'm Bruce Gellerman. Red, spelled R-E-D-D, is the new green. RED stands for Reducing Emissions from Deforestation and Degradation. It's a UN proposal to mitigate climate change by preserving the world's tropical forests.
Tropical trees store vast amounts of carbon, but each year, wide swaths of forests are cut down or burned, releasing more greenhouse gases into the environment than all the world's cars, planes, and trucks combined.
That's where RED comes in. The idea seems simple. The fastest way to reduce large-scale emissions of CO2 is to protect forests. And the cheapest way to do that is to put a price on the trees, so they're more valuable left standing, preserving the carbon, than if they're cut down.
Simple in principle, perhaps, but putting RED into practice and making it part of the treaty this December at the UN climate negotiations in Copenhagen will be difficult.
That's because climate change is a hellishly complex issue. The devil is in the many RED details that still have to be resolved. Janet Redman of the environmental group Friends of the Earth says one of the major problems is simply agreeing what is meant by reducing emissions from degradation and deforestation.
There are so many different definitions of RED. There's no one legal definition at this point. There's a definition from bilaterals. There's a definition for international financial institutions have. There may be a UN definition soon. But at this point, we don't even know what we're talking about because there isn't one concept that we're all on the same page on.
Forest protection was very much on the minds of delegates at the recent 8th UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, a 10-day meeting held in a basement convention center at the United Nations building in New York City. Hundreds of delegates from around the world gathered in a smoke-filled lobby, some wearing native clothes, feather headdresses, sarongs and animal skins, beads and hats. Many hunched over laptops and held cell phones. The place looked like a scene from Star Trek. A gathering of the global village. The talk was about avoiding deforestation and what that would mean for native peoples of the world. Interpreters facilitated conversations, but defining the RED scheme can be culturally confounding, says Juan Carlos Hintach of the Shuar tribe in Ecuador. Hintach is executive co-director of Amazon Alliance, which represents more than 100 rainforest organizations.
If you bring this concept about RED to the indigenous leaders, they don't know what you're talking about. But we ask, what do you think about RED? We're talking this, and some people say RED maybe is a red color. RED maybe is something to the official or not. So it's not understandable. Leaders, we are not understanding this concept.
That's not to say delegates at the Forum on Indigenous Issues don't realize what a RED system could mean for them. Putting a price on carbon in trees to preserve the forest presents native people with a host of existential questions, which they are largely powerless to answer. The Indigenous Forum is a high-level body, but it's only advisory. So Indigenous people have no real power at the United Nations climate talks, says Esteban Su Castro Diaz. He's from Panama and the head of the International Alliance of Indigenous and Tribal Peoples of the Tropical Forests.
We believe that we haven't been heard because, yes, they give us a floor, but they give us a floor at the end of the day when all the state is taking their papers and going out. So really, no, it's not taking into account what indigenous people are saying, and it's not reflected in the final paper of the negotiation.
Further complicating matters is a clash of cultures. The fundamental terms used to discuss RED, carbon trading, offsets, and forest services, are alien concepts to many tribal and traditional people who speak of the sacred Mother Earth. Tom Goldtooth is head of the Minnesota-based Indigenous Environmental Network.
What's happening is that in this whole market system is that it's put a value to traditional people and traditional teachings, those things that we hold sacred to our people. This is evil and it is worse. They're trading air that is sacred. We're looking at some spiritually profound values that people of industrialized society really have a difficult time from grasping. So when we talk about commodities, whether it's the sacredness of trees, and especially air now, is in order to trade CO2, that to order to trade greenhouse gases. This is air. is that they have to define it as a property. It's a property. Someone has to own air in order to treat it. It's very fundamental. So the question is, who owns the air then?
And who owns the forests? And who gets the money that's paid to preserve trees? Under a plan to pay to protect tropical forests, billions, perhaps even trillions of dollars in carbon credits will be bought and sold. International lending organizations like the World Bank are playing a major role in developing the RED mechanism. But indigenous leaders denounce the organization's human rights record. And during the UN Indigenous Forum, protesters marched on Peru's Consulate General. The Peruvian government recently passed a law making it easier to buy land in the Amazon. Land indigenous people, the FAR say, is theirs. Tribal members blocked oil pipelines, rivers, and highways, demanding the law be changed. Peru's president declared a state of emergency. Egberto Tabu of Peru led the protest. He's head of the Amazon Basin Indigenous Peoples Organization. Tabu says he's profoundly concerned about the proposed Red Forest Plan because it threatens the indigenous people's rights. As the market price for forests increases, he warns, there'll be a land grab, a green gold rush for the rights to possess the carbon locked in tropical trees.
El tema de Red está hecho solamente para las corporaciones.
RED is only made for corporations. We are the landowners. We worry about RED. It's not fair. We are the ones living in the jungle. We haven't been taken into account in the design of RED. Again, we'll be the victims of the violation of the rights of indigenous people.
2 years ago, after two decades of debate, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples was adopted by 143 countries. The United States was one of just four nations that rejected it. Australia, another of the holdouts, has since announced it will endorse the declaration. And Charles McNeil from the UN Development Program says, while the Red Forest Deal may be flawed, slowly things are changing.
It's true that they are not sitting around the table with governments in the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. But what is encouraging is that the voice and impact and influence, I would say, of indigenous people has grown tremendously. It's one of the most encouraging things I've seen, that every government, every donor, every NGO, every foundation working in the space is at least alluding to, referring to, talking the talk in terms of issues. Now the issue is walking the talk, and that's where we're about to embark ourselves.
In March, the UN body coordinating RED negotiations granted indigenous people a voting seat on their panel, where decision-making is by consensus. Charles McNeil says despite the many challenges, a RED method for preventing deforestation is the only way to rapidly stabilize global greenhouse gas emissions.
If RED wasn't so important, I would have nothing to do with it because it's so complex, technically, politically, economically, socially. But the only way out is through. And to deal with RED, you're going to have to deal with governance, you're going to have to deal with poverty, you're going to have to deal with human rights, equity. All the issues have to come to the fore to get this to work. So, as I say, it's the most difficult, challenging thing on Earth to be working on, and yet we can't avoid it.
Indigenous leaders say industrial nations caused the climate crisis. And before they promise to go along with a Red Forest Preservation Scheme, developed countries will have to make deeper cuts in their greenhouse gas emissions. But even if they do, Tom Goldtooth, executive director of the U.S.-based Indigenous Environmental Network, fears reduction of emissions from deforestation and degradation will turn native peoples into renters of their own land. Yet he also believes climate change is real. And as ice caps melt and the oceans rise, we have only one option.
We're in this dilemma as indigenous peoples, but we're not alone. We shouldn't be alone in this. We have to stand together with all human beings, all two-legged people, because we're in the boat together.
For more information about forests and climate change and pictures of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, check out our website, loe.org.